But let's really pray that God will speak to our hearts. Traveling, going as I do, I have never seen such indifference about Christians. They might go to church Sunday morning, but you don't see them Sunday night. You don't see them Wednesday night. I've often wondered, do you have what I have? I remember I got saved when I was 12. I was called to preach when I was 14 because I was already craving chicken. I don't know where I've ever told you my chicken poem or not, but I've eat chicken young and I've eat chicken old. I've eat chicken hot and I've eat chicken cold. But when I'm dead and in my grave, no more chicken will I crave. But on my grave marker, please note that 10,000 chickens went down my throat. I'd like to thank you that sent Miss Joe and I a note. CJ and Amanda, Martin, Sean Hodges, Glenda and David Henderson, James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich, whoever they are, Lee and Ellen Rich, B.J. Williams, Cheryl Millwood, Mary Rich, Kathy and Ceylon, I don't know them either, Alan and Terry Claytons. Thank you so very much, Miss Joy, and I really appreciate the notes from you, the encouragement from you, and I really believe you wanted me to come. But the Lord has been so good to every one of us. Let me read you something right quickly, and I get right into the message. These are things that came out in church bulletins, and so they had them printed. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. For you that have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. This being Easter Sunday, we asked Mrs. Martin to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Next Sunday, special collection will be taken to defray the cost of the new carpet. All of those wishing to do something on the new carpet may come forward and do so. Y'all didn't get that one, did you? A bean supper will be held next Sunday evening in the fellowship hall. Special music will follow. At the evening service tonight, the topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. That's a good one. The flower on the altar this morning is to announce the birth of David Allen Hunter, the son of Reverend Mrs. Hunter. The United Methodist women have cast off all clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the church basement this Friday from 9 to 4 p.m. Well, let me just do one more right quickly. Listen to this. Evolution in the average church. Maybe there's something to this ideal of evolution. Maybe people did descend from a lower animal. The evidence is against the church. The church folks are often seen as stubborn as mules. Baptist church. About work. Sly as a fox in their business deals, but busy as bees spreading the latest gossip. blind as a bat to the world's needs, quiet as a mouse spreading the gospel, but have eyes like a hawk to see the mote in their brother's eye. They're eager as a beaver about a barbecue, bazaar or barbecue, but lazy as a dog about prayer meeting Wednesday nights. Mean as a snake when things don't go their way, but gentle as a lamb when they need the pastor's aid. Noisy as crows for the church to advance, but slow as snails in visiting unchurched. Many are night owls on Saturday night, but bed bugs on Sunday morning, and slippery as eels on Sunday night, and scarce as hen's teeth on Wednesday night. Now that fits some of y'all here, so I just want to remind you of commitment to Christ. When I pastored, I never missed a Sunday. Always went to church before I went on revival. What I'm trying to say, it's about Jesus. This church is about Jesus, about the Lamb of God. But again, may I say, I've never, ever in my entire life as a preacher seen so much indifference among the saints of God. I don't hear much about people praying for the lost, and it blessed me to see these people come down to pray for people there. But we'll need something from heaven. God's still on the throne. Amen. You got a need? God said he'll supply that need. Oh, I want to run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get in the message here in the Word of God. I got 2 Samuel and chapter 23. And let's read. Well, I started to say all the verses, but let's pick up on verse number 8 for the sake of time. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, and was Adino, Ezite, lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defeated the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him on that spoil. Let's go down to verse 15. And David longed, and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men broke through the host and the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. And there was by the gate, and it took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this." And he said, "Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink of these things which he did." Again, I want to preach on if I had it to do over again. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good singing by the choir. and up by these quartets. Their quartet that's here today, and bless them as they travel and go, and may they be blessings at other places. Now, for a few moments, let me magnify and talk about you and the things of God and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Again, I want to preach, if I had it to do, all over again. Now, I go back in my mind, and when I going over the message about the things in my life, there's not much that I would change. There's a few things, but listen. But here in the Word of God, Moses would have said, if I had it to do all over again, I would have spoken to the rock and obeyed the Lord, Mount Nebo, and viewed the promised land. He said Eli would have said, if I had to do over again, I would have a better trained my boys. David would have said, if I had it to do all over again, I would have gone to the battlefield instead of staying home. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, remember. And Nebuchadnezzar said, if I had it to do over again, I would have never desecrated the vessels of the Lord and a heart that was made like unto a beast. And Samson said, if I had it to do over again, and it was his eyes all punched out and in his strength, and the power of God had departed from him. And he said, if I'd had it to do over again, I would have never laid my head in Delilah's lap. Peter would have said, if I had it to do over again, I would have never denied Christ. Judas would have said, if I had it to do over again, I would have never pretended to be something I'm not. Ananias and Sapphira said, I would have said, if I had it to do over again, I would have never lied to the Holy Ghost about my giving. And there's a lot of Baptists lie about their giving. But rich man in hell said, if I had it to do over again, I would have never died without Jesus Christ. What would you do if you had it to do over again? What would you do in your life if you had it to do over again? But let me review some things in my life and your life and see what we are. First of all, if I had it to do over again, I would still accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I just mentioned a few minutes ago, but every day I go over that little simple prayer that I prayed. And I remember the pastor said, he knelt down at that mourner's bench with me and he said, son, how you doing? I said, fine. He said, you accepted Christ? And I said, yes, I have. And he said, you want to stand up and tell people about it? And I said, yes, I sure will. And I stood up and I told him I'd accepted Christ as Savior and the Lord. I joined the church that morning and they had a baptizing in the creek. And I got a picture that I'll show it to you. And when I was out there in that creek and being baptized that Sunday afternoon, and I couldn't wait to get back to church. I wanted to tell them what the Lord had done for me. And then when I was called to preach, I remember my daddy was a preacher. His daddy was a preacher. His mother's daddy's a preacher. I'm a preacher. And I got a son that's a preacher. He'll be here. And then I got a grandson that's a preacher. And they all like chicken. I mean, the one thing about being a preacher, you got to like chicken. Praise God. But anyway, hearing the Word of God. Now let me show you. I would have still accepted Christ as my Savior and my Lord. In Him I found help. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him I found happiness. I wish sometime you could stand up here and look back and see happy people. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. Listen, if I had to do over again, I found help and I found happiness in Jesus Christ. You can't explain the feeling. You talk about it, but you really cannot explain what's going on in your life. Number two, I'd still accept a call to preach. the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I get to magnify my Lord. This is not boastful, what I'm going to say. I've preached in nearly 200 churches across the country. It's been a good journey, and I sure have been blessed. I don't know, but I'd like to stand one day before the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'd like to hear the Lord say, I remember when I was at DuPont Company in Chattanooga, years ago, I got out of high school and didn't know what to do anyway. I went to work at DuPont and so on. And then I had joined the National Guard, and we got called into service. And I went overseas. But what I'm trying to say is, in all my life, everywhere I've ever been, I got to witness in South Korea. And I had an interpreter named Yu Bong Soo, and I called him Yu. And one day, I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, me, Christian." He called me Mr. T.D. He said, "Mr. T.D., I'm a Christian." And he had a guy, a bunch, I did about 70-something I was in charge of. And I called this guy. He walked up, and I said, "Do you know Jesus as your Savior?" And he said, "No." And you was interpreting for me. He said, "No." I said, "Would you like to know Jesus as your Savior?" You know what? I had the opportunity to lead him to Jesus Christ. I've had a good journey. It's been good. May end any day. But hallelujah to God. Well, hallelujah. It's good. Miss George, we've had a good way, haven't we, doll? I'm telling you, no preacher had a better wife than my wife, and you say that about your wife, because I get a lot of better grub when I tell her that. Well, what a joy. I rejoice that I found happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, I answer the call to preach. The answer that I was called to preach. I told you a while ago, you know how you know you're called to preach. You can't explain it, but it just happens. And I've had them that thought they'd called to preach, but they said, "Well, I made a mistake." But I'm glad, thank God, that I've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, I was assistant pastor in Ottawa, Alabama, as I first started, John Hull. And he's gone all the time. But I take the men, we'd get up on the mountainside up there and pray. And I remember one day, Joy was working. And I remember one day that I got things fixed up and Joy was gone. And I went up on that mountain. On that mountainside, walked down that rock, and I was there about 3 hours crying out unto God. And I said, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Fill me with that Spirit of God they've been talking about." And I was there about 3 hours. And all of a sudden, the glory of God filled my heart. I shouted, I praised God. I mean, it was unreal. But while I'm there, a man came in my heart. Lost man. He had visited the church a time or two. But I remember when I got, his name came to my mind. I got up, ran up that hill, and I ran down to that house. knocked on the door. And he came to the door. When he saw me, he started crying. I said, "What is it? What is it?" He said, "I've been praying all morning for somebody to come by and tell me about Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, I led him to Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, be a spirit-filled Christian. He lives inside of you. Have you ever yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, the Bible, you'll find more in the Bible. I can't explain it. All I know is every time I have an opportunity, I witness for my Lord. I talk to him about, I don't care if I'm in, where am I? In a restaurant or Starbucks or wherever. I talk to people about Jesus. And like Elmer Lowry, he's kind of stuttered a little bit in my early ministry. He said, "Brother Burgess, would you like to have more of Jesus?" I said, "Sure, Brother Lowry, tell me how." He said, "Well, the more you talk about him, the bigger he gets. And the more you talk about Jesus, the bigger he gets." Revival, jubilee. I'm just talking about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hey, I hate to hit this again, but there's a blessing in giving. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. I remember one time, Joyce said, "Honey, if I write this check, we don't have any more money." And I said, "Write it." But God paid me back. Amen. Revive. Relive. Seek his presence. Hallelujah. Not only that, but I would again, I've explained to you about serving God faithfully in the church. I don't know that I've ever been to this church that you wasn't here. And some of you, a few of you that I remember, you've always been here. Praise the lady that plays the piano. Faithful to the Lord. Hey, tending faithfully. I like that. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Oh no, it's church time. You mean I got to go back again tonight? You mean we got to know every night during this jubilee? We got to go? You're kidding. Hallelujah. Some Baptists do that. And you'll find out during the jubilee which is which. Preacher told me to tell you that too. Hey, last of all, if I had to do over again, I want to allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. Amen. I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. One of the greatest person, I mean, that I ever met. He was a Greek, Paul Pappas. Paul Pappas was a dynamic Christian. I was assistant pastor, and they had Paul Pappas to come to our church and to preach the Word of God. And I was sitting there with the pastor behind there, and Paul Pappas said this: "There is something in my heart that draws my heart, that drives me like a madman. I thought, what? And he said, Jesus Christ is first place in my life, and it drives me like a madman. And I sat behind with the preacher, and I said, Lord, I don't have it, but give it to me. And that day, thank God, changed my life forever. Saved, yes, forever. But then it changed my life as an individual. I've had people say, don't you get tired going to church and traveling all the time? You know why I say? No. God called me. It'd be good one day. Y'all get through singing. I got up to preach. And the trump of God sounded. And they said, where did the diplomats go? Can I look at y'all like y'all look at me? I'm talking about Jesus, the Lord of your life. Is he number one in your life? I read a story, a true story, about Columbus. And in that story about Columbus, had a ship. And in that ship, and here's what it said under there, they kept a log every day. And in that log, it said, today, we've not seen anything, but we sailed on. Today, we didn't see anything, but we sailed on. Today, we have gone and not seen any day, not seen a thing. But if you remember about Columbus, he did see something. God led him. He just kept sailing. Hallelujah. He just kept it going. Maybe you're here today, and I know a lot of you came here a while ago. And that's great, praying for people. But what about you? How about you? What are you? Well, just keep on sailing. Day don't feel good, keep on sailing. I've heard people say, well, I had a headache and I stayed at home. If you'd had a job, you'd have gone to work. There are things we put in place of Christ. But it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things. All, everything, all these things work together. Just put up your sail and say, I'm going on. I'm not going to stop. I'm going on. I'm going to give God my best the rest of my life. Amen. Think about it. Give God your best. How many of you know somebody's lost? Raise your hand. How many of you know somebody's dropped out of church not going? Raise your hand. May I ask you, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? You might be the one. You might be the one to get it done. I went to Israel. And we went to the place of the skull. And up on that hill, we were not supposed to go there, on that hill. But we, three of us, me, Mr. Sturgill, and Cecil Sturgill. I got a picture right here of my Bible in my thing I got here. And we knelt. Brother Cecil lay on that flat ground weeping. That's where he surrendered to preach. But I got up and I looked over towards Jerusalem. And I said, thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to die on a hill. You open not your mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he did it for me. And he did it for you. That's what this thing's all about. Remember that Jesus gave his life that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Let's stand together, please. Praise his holy name. I gave you a very brief message. Let's make this meeting, the Jubilee, something you've never experienced before. But I want you to pray. But I want you to mind God. I know you came down to pray. And I'd like for you to come and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet this sound, if you will. Go ahead. Here's one of my, if I had a song to pick out as my favorite, this is it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm a nobody. I'm having a great journey. But count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Our loving Heavenly Father, again, thank you. It's amazing that you love us. And we say we love you, but we demonstrate other things come first. But I pray in this meeting will be, Lord, something that there's been a lot of great things taking place at this church down through the years. But may this be the day that it reunites. And these people today, we give you more time and effort and prayer and desire than they've ever known. And if you know somebody that's lost, I pray you'll come down and just stand here. I know you've already been, but I want you to just come and stand while they sing. I want you to come. Amen.